The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
The second hour is live. We thank you for being here, and Hendon Hooker joining us a little bit later on. We'll talk about his career at Tennessee and what he expects in the late April NFL draft. He's projected high right now. Adam Sparks joining us in a few minutes, and Chase Goodbread, as opposed to Bad Bread, will join us later about Bama's spring practice so far. Mike is up next in Georgia. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate your show.
Thank you very much.
Bear Bryant is referenced a lot on your show, and I was just wondering what he would think about the U.S. Congress taking over college sports.
I'd imagine he would not like it. I think he would not be asking their intervention. He would say that's up to us. Why didn't we do something about this when we could have?
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't know how things have gotten to this point, and it just seems like, and I can't imagine the conference commissioners are interested in having the Congress tell them what to do. It seems like somebody either needs to.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? They do seem to be asking Congress for intervention, because even the commissioners realize that the NCAA blew it, and it's not as if they're trying to do away with it. They're just trying to figure out a way to do it better. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Interesting point you made there. And let's check in with Dave, who is in California. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Just wanted to give a couple more reasons why we're not on top of Mount Rushmore anymore. A, we don't go to the Maui tournament anymore. That's where all the blue bloods are. And by golly, they got a mural on us in that building, in the gym. Another reason is we don't play one of our biggest rivals anymore, Indiana. And, yeah, we do have the best recruiting class coming in, but it's probably going to be another year of disappointment for the Cats. And one more thing about the ladies' game. There was a lot of teaching moments. I was sitting there watching that with my 10-year-old, whether it be the officiating or the way things went down at the end. But, you know, they are kids. They are young ladies, and it was fun to watch. But I just feel there was a lot of teaching moments at the end of that game. And thanks for putting on a good show.
Thank you very much for being a part of it. Drew is up next in Virginia. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are well, thank you.
I have three questions, and I would say if Birmingham had a Mount Rushmore, you would be on it.
Well, thank you.
But question one, do you think, as I'm a fan of Hugh Freeze, do you think he gave the SEC a boost that it needed? Two, do you think the Sun Belt Conference could be the next ACC? And the third question, I like Shane Beamer, and I like Hugh Freeze, and I know they're talking about playing teams in their spring game. Do you think that could be another recruiting tool for them?
Yeah, Drew, I don't think the spring game is enough to really matter. And I'm interested to hear what Freeze says tomorrow, because I think it's the spring game has now become just an event. It's for something to bring your kids. Everybody show up on hopefully a nice day. And it's a taste of the fall. I don't think playing a substandard school, whether it's in a different division or even a comparable one, is going to be that exciting, because the result doesn't matter. I mean, what are sports about? Who wins and who loses? And as far as Hugh Freeze, I think that was your first question. I think he. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say go ahead.
Well, no, that's just how I feel about the spring games. But in relation to Freeze, I think he is given the SEC a big boost, because he's made Auburn better. And that was the issue with Brian Harsin. We don't need to talk about who he was and whether we liked him or not anymore, because he couldn't coach in the SEC. And Auburn suffered. And when Auburn is poor, it affects big games like Georgia, like Alabama, and others, and that's a they are a critical component of the league.
Absolutely. You think the SEC is ready for him?
Yeah, I don't think I think he's transitioned very well, and I think he's going to be a factor. I mean, he's an elite coach, and that's been proven. And it's not just because of two games at Ole Miss; those games put him on the map. But I think what he did, his body of work at Liberty was extraordinary. Thank you for the call very much. Mac is in Gainesville. You're on the air. Hello, Mac.
Hi, Paul. Appreciate you having my call. Been on several times with you. Got a couple questions, and they're about Florida. I'm a diehard Gator fan. Do you think with Mertz coming to Florida that their record will be a little better than last year? And, yes, I understand that was Billy's first year, and it was kind of subpar. And then my next question to that would be, and I'll let you go, would be, do you think Florida's going to have any playoff implications or national championships, hopefully here in our near future? Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Mac.
One more thing I'd also like to say, I love you, sis. Bye.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this is a dangerous juncture in my career. I'm as far as Mertz, I'm not overly enthusiastic about somebody dropping in for a year, but he could be a stopgap. And right now the Gators need that. They need some stability. They need somebody that they can trust, and they need a lot more players too. And I think Napier is doing that. I'm long past knowing how successful he'll be. I know what he's done in the past. That's often a preview or a predictor of the future. And for Gator fans, I hope that is the case. Let's check in with Dexter in Texas. Hello, Dexter.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Paul, I've called you before. This isn't the first time I called you. I called you way back when. Y'all on College Sports Nation seemed like 1,000 years ago.
Oh, wow. That was a long time ago.
Y'all followed Eddie George, and I can't remember who the sideline reporter was that they had the show with. But I called your show back then. But I was calling today. You had a caller a little while ago. He said, in fact, I'm going to mock him. He said, when has Texas ever beaten Alabama in anything? And your response was, probably 70s or 80s. So you're pretty close to correct, Paul. We beat Alabama Bears last game. But we beat Alabama a month ago in softball. We swept them in baseball last year. So, I mean, it's not like we don't beat Alabama every now and then when we play them. We've only played them twice in football since Bear Bryant was their coach. So, you know, both times they beat us in the national championship game and then this past season. But you can't take one fan, the caller you had earlier, and base what he says, base the entire fan base on that. Texas has some pretty good fans. We have some pretty good fans.
Let me say this. I do remember the 81 season in the Cotton Bowl. I believe Texas beat Alabama.
Right, the 82 Cotton Bowl. Right.
And I remember the earlier games too. I think that the addition of Texas and the SEC is going to be one of the most exciting moments in the history of the league. It's that big of a moment. And, you know, from my standpoint, I'm really eager for the fans because the Texas fans are unique. They are not like any other fan base. And are they loud and proud? Yeah, of course, but they ought to be. I mean, that is a phenomenal school. It has a great reputation. I hope the football program comes back because when I was a kid, Texas was one of the most important football programs in the country, and they should be again, and they were until about 12 years ago. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. We head to the break. We will continue taking your phone calls. We chat with Hendon Hooker in the next hour. Don't forget Hugh Freeze tomorrow. We'll try to work in a number of the SEC head coaches. We had Stoops on the other day. We had Clark Lee. We're working on as many as we can gather as the spring.
You're listening to the
on.
Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
On the never-ending, becoming extremely irritating dilemma with the Pac-12, according to FAML, meeting next week, don't expect any announcement of a media deal. The timeline is likely now later this spring or summer. Rinse, repeat. Colby is up next. Hello, Colby.
Paul, let me tell you about Texas. All right. The sun rises and sets in Austin, and the people of the SEC are going to learn that here in the next few years.
Can't wait. So tell us what we need. Tell us what we need to know, because I'm all in. I've already got all my Texas gear, and I've learned how to hook 'em horns. So you're saying I'm in for a rude awakening?
Well, you see, I wouldn't necessarily say you are, because you're a smart enough man that you understand the value that not only the program in Austin brings to the table, but the fan base that comes along with it.
Correct.
And what people have to come to realize is that A&M was so scared of us, they ran away to the SEC, and now they can't hide because we're coming after them.
You know what? I think I'm really going to like this Texas coming into the SEC thing.
Hey, I hope you do. I really hope you do.
I know that it's not my decision, but I'm. What do you think about moving the show to Austin? Is there a studio there?
You would do that just for me.
I could do that. I think I could. I think we just move everything to Austin next July. And
man, that'd just be great.
Food's great. You would like that, Randy. Music is unbelievable. The people.
Music is absolutely wonderful.
I've always wanted to live in Austin, so this could be my last chance. Because,
And I'm sure Bebo would welcome you.
I am familiar with Orange. Spent some time in Knoxville, so I can turn the shade to burnt orange. The eyes of Texas.
Have a great day. Hook 'em.
You ready? Hook 'em. Just got to learn how to say hook 'em. You got to say hook 'em with authority, though. Came about hook 'em. It's like a grunt. It's actually not a grunt. It's like you got something in your throat and you're trying to get it out. And you somebody's around in the corner. You've got to get it out fast. James is up next in Birmingham. Hello, James.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We are great. Thank you.
Hey, so I was calling in about that Kentucky fan who called in earlier, and he was saying about how they're the best program in the college basketball land. Well, they got to get control of the SEC because Alabama's running the SEC right now in football and basketball, so they got to get control of that first up there.
To Alabama, let me go back. Can we rerun the tape on that statement a minute ago? Alabama is running the SEC in football and basketball? Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Okay, so, I mean, Alabama did win the SEC in basketball this year.
Football, not so much.
They did not win the SEC in football this year, although they did win it last year. Chris is up next in Alabama, too. Hey, Chris.
Hey Paul. I was going to just make this statement and just get off the line here, but do you feel like the SEC kind of underachieved in the NCAA tournament this year? I had Alabama going to the Final Four, but I don't know. I thought maybe we'd get a couple of teams to the Elite Eight at least, but then again, I had Purdue winning the whole thing, so I was clearly
well. I think it was the weirdest. Bracket. It was the weirdest tournament we've seen in a long time. As a preamble to your question, but yes, I thought Alabama was. I wasn't convinced that they were going to beat Houston. Of course, Houston didn't make it either. But yeah, Alabama. I don't think Alabama could have beaten UConn, but Alabama certainly should have gotten by San Diego State, and I think they should have gotten to the Final Four. They just picked the worst day of the year to have their most unforgettable round, and that, yeah, I mean, disappointing is a pretty lazy word to use. How badly they underperformed in the tournament.
I agree. I think that's what makes the tournament so fun, but then you have, you know, just total chaos. And I didn't see UConn coming out and then winning the whole thing and looking like definitely the best team at the end. Yeah, I thought Alabama should have got to the Elite Eight.
And what concerns me, Chris, is this, and you know, somebody who's watched a lot of Alabama basketball like you have, I'm not saying you can't get back again, but history is not going to be a friend here. This was one of those once a decade type of moments, and for Alabama, more like once in every two decades. That's the crushing part of it, because it was right there. Alabama had the best team. Alabama had everything going for it.
Yes.
And choose whatever word you would like to describe Brandon Miller's final game.
I don't know. I was disappointed.
I'm glad you called. Yeah, I've seen it before, though. I covered a lot of Alabama basketball in my salad days, and I could think of two or three other times that they have been to the precipice and just cannot get over. And that's what makes it so devastating if you're a true blood and blue Alabama fan. Thanks for the call. Tony is in Kentucky. You're on the air. Hello, Tony.
Paul, I'm a first-time caller, and I love your show. You're doing a great job, and I just had a question for you. What do you think about Calipari's future at Kentucky?
Well, I think his window is tightening. I'll put it that way. He's had two great opportunities these past 2 years, and he has managed to throw both of them away.
Yeah, he has. I see a lot of people commenting about him and stuff, but what do you think about Rick Pitino going to St. John? That's kind of wild, ain't it?
Yeah, I mean, you have to admire Rick Pitino. I would hold my wallet if I ever run into him in an elevator. That's how much I think of him character-wise. But he's one of the generational coaches of the last 40 years. And at 70 years old, to continue to keep recreating and reinventing himself in spite of all the sleaze and the muck that has been thrown at him, and a lot of it sticking, is really remarkable. I admire a guy that can, in spite of everything, still get jobs. We'll take a break here. We have Hendon Hooker coming up in the next hour. Adam Sparks will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We have spring football on Saturday. I know there's rain forecast for a lot of the South, but Auburn plays at 2 p.m. on Saturday. Vandy, we had Clark Lee on the other day. He's pretty fired up. That's the nightcap. It's all about recruiting. Where have you heard that before? And apparently, recruiting costs money. And Georgia is spending it. And on Wall Street, they would be impressed with the ROI. Welcome back in. Adam Sparks from the New Sentinel. Always great to visit with him. We'll talk about the Jeremy Pruitt conundrum in a few minutes. Adam, thank you for being here. Let's talk about the amount of money being spent and what schools are doing and what schools are getting for that money. How are you?
Real good. Yeah, it's no surprise the SEC has five of the top 10 spenders. If you count Texas and Oklahoma future membership, seven of the top 10 in recruiting spending just for football. Me and my colleague Steve Berkowitz up at USA Today, he's sort of the guru on these finances. We did the FOIAs for every public school, went back 6 years to see where the trends had gone. And, you know, if you look at the top of the ledger, Georgia has not only spent more money than anybody, $4.5 million last year for its recruiting budget, but they've way outpaced everybody else. If you just look at the comparison of Georgia and Alabama, pre-pandemic numbers, Georgia had like a slight lead over Alabama in spending, $300,000. The year before the pandemic, that grew to $1 million. You come out of the pandemic, and Georgia's outspending Alabama by almost $2.5 million. So it just, you know, Georgia, you know, knows no limits when it comes to spending money on that. You know, it's funny that I've gotten two different perspectives on this. Georgia fans have tweeted me and said, you know, this is great. We will spend whatever it takes. We have the resources. We'll take this to the end of the earth to make sure we get the recruits that we want. Alabama fans, on the other hand, have reacted and said, hey, look, we don't even have to spend as much money as Georgia to get the same caliber of player. And so it's sort of the, you know, it's not just you get what you pay for, but, you utilize every dollar. And Alabama has done that because their recruiting has not slipped, but they are spending less now than they did 5 years ago.
Adam, help us understand where and what this money goes to. I mean, I'm assuming travel is part of it, but take us through what you learned from seeing these reports.
Yeah, I mean, some of the numbers are skewed because they count them a little differently. This has nothing to do with, like, paying coaches or paying recruiting coordinators or any of that. This is, you know, there's a lot of travel in here. So a whole lot of rental cars, a whole lot of flights. If your school has a private plane that they use, that is factored in the cost of that. And so that skews the numbers somewhat because if you are a school in the Southeast, you don't have to go far to get players. So your travel expenses are going to be less. But, you know, if you look in the SEC, a lot of expenses are spent on lavish, you know, lavish expenses to make the official visit everything that it can be. Obviously, I cover Tennessee, and Tennessee, regardless of who the coach is, has spent tons of money over the years to make sure when you come onto campus, you know, you get this A-plus treatment of you know, paying photographers and videographers to make that experience the best you can. When recruits come to games for official visits, they're eating a catered meal before the game and then another one at halftime and another one afterward. And, you know, it's just every school does it a little differently, but all that goes into the cost. And even paying you know, extra staff just to work on official visits. That goes into it.
Adam Sparks with us from the News Center. Adam, years ago, an official visit, I'm going back 40, 50 years, an official visit was a steak dinner, going, you know, maybe going to a nightclub, and really that was it. And maybe, you know, the hostess showed the player around the town square. You mentioned a little bit more sophisticated in 2023. What do these visits, how do they range, and really what happens? I mean, I always hear about parents being part of it. What's the experience like for everyone in the family?
Yeah, I mean, you're going again for the experience. I think social media changed a whole lot of this. If you go back just a few years, every school had, you know, like a hashtag for that particular recruiting class each year to sort of give them an identity. But then the ante has been upped each year to, you know, now you've got everything is about Instagram photos about your experience. There's sort of an arms race with your creative staff of doing graphics. You know, for example, at Tennessee here this year, if you come onto campus for a visit, they've got a big orange throne, a big orange chair, a throne that you can sit on and pose. You know, you get a certain jersey that you can wear. You choose which color jersey you want to wear for which graphic you want to use. But if you commit, you get to wear a black jersey as opposed to the orange or white. There's a transfer from BYU here, Keenan Peely, an older player, linebacker. He's married, and so when he came on his official visit, as a transfer and committed, he got to have his wife come into the photo and sit in the orange throne for his photo shoot. And these are the things that they do cost some money to get extra staff and props and all that, but it's really just about trying to outdo everybody else, especially in the SEC.
Wow. Adam, let me head to the unfortunate subject of Jeremy Pruitt. One of these days we'll talk, and he will no longer be part of the conversation. But he still is, and Tennessee fans are anxious to find out what is going down here in a couple weeks. Take us through what you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm most curious to see how far each party will go in trying to push the blame on the other. If you really look at it, Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee have a similar strategy going into this hearing. Jeremy Pruitt's take is, all the cheating was done beneath me. All my subordinates, I had no knowledge of it. It stopped one step below me. Tennessee's strategy is that all the cheating was done at Jeremy Pruitt's level and below. And so there was no knowledge above that, athletic director Phil Fulmer or the administration or anything else. So in that way, their strategies are pretty similar. It's just, where does the buck stop? I'll be most interested to see what Jeremy Pruitt's how he handles this. It's a 3-day hearing in Cincinnati. I'll be up there covering it. And I think Jeremy Pruitt's initial goal is to try to make sure this is pinned on his subordinates, clear his name as much as he can, do everything that he can to avoid a show cause, and some of his assistants have already agreed to show cause penalties. But if that doesn't work, and it looks like he's going to get a show cause, I think there's a realistic possibility that he could start throwing grenades at Tennessee. And that would not help his case, I don't think, but it would, you know, drag Tennessee down with him to some extent. Tennessee will go into this hearing with a failure to monitor charge on it. That's the lesser charge. The bigger one would be the lack of institutional control. It avoided that one, so this is sort of the moderate charge, failure to monitor. If Tennessee could have gotten that off of it, then it would have settled a negotiated resolution and been done with it. The fact that they're going to the hearing means they haven't been able to get the NCAA to drop that allegation.
Where does, if anywhere, Philip Fulmer fit into all of this?
Tennessee had a 108-page response to the notice of allegations, and Philip Fulmer's name was not mentioned in it once. I'll be curious to see if he has to attend this hearing, if he has to be on a Zoom for this hearing. He could be nervous. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt actually left with a reasonably good relationship, and from what I understand, he still has a pretty good relationship with Phil Fulmer. There's not any animosity there. But, you know, if you're going to start throwing grenades, and I'm not saying Jeremy Pruitt will, but if you're speculating that he could, you know, Phil Fulmer could be one of those. I mean, if Jeremy Pruitt does start to make accusations, he could make them broadly to, you know, past coaches and say, you know, cheating has occurred at Tennessee before, and here's what you need to know about that. That doesn't change this case. That would maybe just bring up other cases that would give Tennessee a headache. But if he wanted to do something to implicate Tennessee in this case, then, you know, who would he have to go after Phil Fulmer? Because, again, if you look at the strategies, Tennessee says everything happened at Jeremy Pruitt's level and below. For Jeremy Pruitt to make Tennessee look more guilty than they otherwise would be, he has to say something was above him. And the next layer up from that is the athletic director.
Adam Sparks, a couple of interesting weeks, as always, in Knoxville ahead of you. Many thanks for being on. We will head to the break. Hendon Hooker, who knows a little bit about Knoxville, Tennessee, will join us in a few minutes as we roll on a Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And it is back on Sunday afternoon. Rally cap, a recap of all the great softball and baseball games. Back to the calls, and Andrew in Atlanta. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
Hey there.
Again, I've been eating the egg salad sandwiches for good luck.
So you had Rory under at 12, is that right?
No. I had Spieth.
Oh, Spieth under.
No,
okay.
Spieth.
How did he do today?
He's under par, and he's approaching the 12th hole.
Okay. Well, I will. If the ball goes into the water, I will say a prayer for you. Although I don't think nobody's going in the water there today. The back bunker seems to be the most popular place.
Yeah, like we talked about, the wind's coming from the northeast, something like that. I don't think it's going to go under the water, myself either. But,
well, no, the first day pin is not going to bedevil you. It's the one on Sunday.
Well, I told you, watch me. Watch me roll.
Well, by the way, I don't want to sound like a doctor, but don't have too many egg salads. It can be bad for your cholesterol.
Yeah, you're right. But I do love the egg salad sandwiches, now that you mention it.
Andrew, once again, Andrew, tell everybody, you weren't here, Randy. This guy has bet $8,000, is that right?
On that shot.
He's taken the under on the 12th hole for Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
Nothing.
And he's under par,
way,
right?
Nothing,
he's under
nothing,
par right now.
Nothing degenerate about that.
I told you.
No, you're just an average All-American who just likes to have fun with your money. Hey, thank you for the call. What are you rooting for? Triple bogey on 12? And by the way, he doesn't win that much. I mean, it's one thing if you bet 8,000 and win 100,000. I mean, I don't think the odds are that great. Jake is up next in Texas. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Paul. Hey, man. I wanted to give you a little advice before you move the show to Austin.
Okay, please.
All right. I'll start off with a little illustration. I'm like 3.5 hours from Austin. I could drive there in the morning, have my hair dyed purple, put on a pink bridesmaid's dress and smoke a bong whilst riding a solar-powered skateboard up and down Congress Avenue, and I wouldn't be weird at all.
I hear you.
A few people would look at me and say, ain't he a little old for a UT student?
Yeah, I'm –
So,
are you catching that drift there, Randy? I am.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Well, here's what I'm suggesting, Paul. Before you move the show off.
What if I, as I'm walking around, hold a copy of The Prophet by Cahil Gibran?
I've read that. I have read that. It's beautiful. It's poetic. It's philosophical. Yeah,
maybe be humming some Joni Mitchell tunes from the '60s.
I don't know about Joni Mitchell. I'm more into the Smiths myself. But I would suggest that you put some big gold hoops in those big earlobes of yours and maybe raid Kim Mulkey's wardrobe and have Randy get some D-cup breast implants, and you guys will do very well.
We are on our way, Jake. And
that's a commitment.
Never worn a dress, but I think, Kim Mulkey's got the best looking outfits I've ever seen. I will say that. Let's check in with John in Louisville. Hey, John.
That's quite an endorsement for Austin, Texas, right?
Yeah, I don't think the chamber is too happy with that one.
And by the way, Andrew sounds like a nervous better there, and yeah, I know
Andrew will be busted by the end of the weekend.
Hey, I was going to discuss Adam Sparks and John Wilhelm, but real quick, that was a beautiful tribute to Rick Pitino. From a guy from Louisville, I can appreciate it.
I felt like I missed a couple of things, like the woman at the Olive Garden, but...
It was Porcino's, but you're
okay,
close
Porcino's.
Enough.
I was just trying to make it more relatable to the average person that he couldn't.
To summarize it, when you look up the word sleaze in the dictionary, you'll see Rick's picture next to it.
He wasn't disciplined enough to get to his car with his lady friend. He had to do it right there on the table. Sounds like a Beatles song, doesn't it?
Literally.
They did it in the road, didn't they?
Yeah. Hey, Paul, quick comment on John Wilhelm. I can't believe he compared the Big 12 to the Pac-12 as far as the media deal. I think that's way off kilter.
He was into that... that medical marijuana out there.
And Jeremy Pruitt's going to have a problem with his wife if he says all the cheating occurred below him by his subordinates. She delivered swag bags full of cash to at least 25 people.
John, I've been to a few NCAA hearings and know people that have been there a lot. They do not like scorched earth, and they prefer you. If you haven't settled it by the time you walk in that room, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Hey, great show today. The Kentucky route, Mount Rushmore, was the best call.
That was unbelievable. Hey, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Connor in Fort Myers. Hello, Connor.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Good. So I listen to your podcast every day because I deliver groceries all day.
Oh, wonderful.
I sit in the car all day. And I just wanted to give a shout out to my favorite caller who I feel like doesn't get enough love.
And who might that be?
It's John from Louisville. I feel like he's not all over the place, unlike many of the callers. And he actually comes to talk sports and a good conversation always. So he keeps me pretty entertained.
John is somewhat of the conscience of the show. Do you work for the grocery or for one of these companies that delivers groceries?
I work for Instacart, I can't. I don't know how to get your show live, but I listen to the podcast every day, and all I do is listen to podcasts.
Well, Connor, there is a definite way to get it live. I tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll let you in on the secret how you can listen to us while you're driving around live. How about that?
Perfect. Thanks so much, Paul.
Okay, we'll take you off the air. That is Connor, who is going to find out how to listen to the show live. And Lowell is up. I think I just hung up on him by accident. Lowell is up next in Florida. Hello, Lowell. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
So I was just wondering kind of, you know, what you thought. I grew up in a family. We're all Oklahoma State fans. So us losing, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, there's no issues there. But, you know, like the Bedlam rivalry was very important to us, and I'm sure, you know, it's very important to the Big 12. So how do you think Oklahoma and Texas leaving kind of affect the Big 12's money?
Well, I think it affects it dramatically because when you start the Big 12 season, you look at the board and what are the biggest games of the year? Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State, and yeah. You know, depending on the year. I mean, even with TCU playing for the national championship and Baylor having good years, it doesn't really change the drama. And there are you're losing a great deal. And you're losing your two bell cows. Hey, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We have a long way to go, but the next guest is somebody we've been eager to talk to for some time. Hendon Hooker, the great from the University of Tennessee, joins us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.